Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
And this Oakland Raiders, that's
that's an older one.
Sound effect.
That's older. Yeah,
I promise you they're not in Oakland anymore.
Mm-mm.
But I guess we now know that we got the teams recorded like 6 years ago and it hadn't been in the budget to
get new ones
yet. I
was thinking to myself, when did we get those recorded?
Yeah, it's been
long enough ago.
Can't wait until they play the San Diego Chargers or maybe the St. Louis Rams.
Oh, St. Louis Cardinals.
What's that?
Like even the St. Louis Cardinals
back
in the day. Yeah.
As well.
Phoenix
yes.
Cardinals.
This is the first time we've ever done this. This is breaking news, and this is groundbreaking thinking from the production team. We're going to have a Commanders beat reporter on to scout the opponent. Here's how it works. Deshaun Reed covered the Raiders for years.
Boom.
Now he covers the Commanders as of like 6 hours ago. Deshaun, first of all, welcome to D.C., and congrats on the gig at the Washington Post. We're Grant and Danny, man. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
Appreciate y'all having me. You triggered me with the St. Louis Rams reference. I'm from St. Louis. That brought back some memories.
Oh, but, no. We didn't get off to a good start.
Sorry.
We love St. Louis. We're St. Louis guys.
I've been there. The pizza's on a cracker, okay. Kind of. It's something.
Do you remember how good Steven Jackson was? I don't think you remember.
Of course I remember. I'm not that young. I was born in 96, so. Marshall Faulk, Steven Jackson, Mark Bolger, you know. I was there.
Okay. You remember it. That's good. Tashawn. So you're now covering the Commanders, but we'll get to them. I want to start with the Raiders, who you covered the last few years. What do you make of the team that they put together? I mean, it was such an offseason of transition here. Brady kind of taking over, running the show. They need a GM. They go with one of his guys from Tampa and Spytek. They need a head coach. They go with Pete Carroll for a young roster. They draft a running back in the top 10. They trade for a veteran QB, Geno Smith. What do you make of kind of what they put together here?
Yeah, it's sort of a transitional roster, in my opinion. Like, they have some veterans that are familiar faces. You know, you mentioned Geno Smith. But then it's a lot of guys that are sort of, you know, trying to reclaim their careers. You know, Devin White of the world, and players who maybe haven't, you know, Jamal Adams haven't been as good the past couple of years, and they're trying to sign them to one-year deals and see if they can get some hits. And then it's a ton of young guys. So a lot of guys that are talented, highly drafted, but haven't really done anything in the league. And so I just don't think the roster quality is there to, you know, contend and, you know, push for a playoff spot. But with Pete Carroll coming in as that floor raiser, and some of the pieces that they do have, you know, like, you know, Max Crosby and Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers, Ashton Jeanty, et cetera, like they do have some players of note. I think there's enough there for them to be competitive, but they're just a step below those teams that are really competing for playoff spots. And so it could be feisty. They could catch you slipping on a weekly basis. You know, their record at the end of the year may not be that good, but they're definitely a team that you can't necessarily overlook either.
And that was kind of my read on it, is that you bring in some of the guys that you mentioned, Pete Carroll most specifically, to not stink. Like, they're not here to be cannon fodder bottom feeders anymore. I don't know what their ceiling is, but they didn't have a great showing this past Monday. How close to the real thing do you think that was for this team versus a group that, might, as you said, might be frisky, might surprise some people this year?
I don't think Geno Smith is going to throw three picks every week, so I think that game was probably a little bit of like an anomaly for the Raiders' offense. But it did speak to some of the flaws they do have. Like, their offensive line is pretty bad. And that's why you see Jeanty, you know, people are pointing to his rushing totals and why isn't he as productive. That's why. You know, I mean, we saw, you know, not just him, but Josh Jacobs there a few years ago was struggling. And obviously he went on to do great things with the Packers the last couple of years. Like, it wasn't him, so I don't think it's Jeanty either. I just think they don't have the guys up front to run block consistently. And the pass protection is lacking as well. And so that's why you see Geno Smith maybe forcing things or throwing it earlier than he should. And anytime your offense is that, you know, you lose that balance. What the Commanders saw last week against the Packers, And that game got away from him. Like, if you can't make this other team respect the run, then it's going to tee off on you when it comes to the pass rushing. I think that part, the offensive line, those issues, I think that's real. And that's going to be a case for the Raiders the entire season. But I think that was also a bad game for Geno. And so I don't see him throwing three picks or playing as poorly as he did in that game every week.
Deshaun, on the other side of the ball for the Raiders, now they've given up some huge plays over a couple games, 60-yard catch-and-run touchdown against the Chargers in prime time last time out. Seems like there's just, you know, air to be had in the passing game here for Marcus Mariota maybe. What do you make of the Raiders on that side of the ball? Crosby's got just five pressures via PFF through two games. Quiet start for him. He's obviously an unbelievable talent. Who else do you have to worry about on the Raiders' defense?
Yeah, the defense is kind of just a collection of guys. Like, they don't, you know, really scare you at any of the three levels. Their secondary is really questionable, and so the way they try to mitigate that is through their defensive line led by Crosby, and they have to get aggressive. Like, Patrick Graham, that's the only way that they're going to have a fighting chance is if he's always has that aggression dialed up. And anytime you do that, it's going to leave you susceptible to those big plays that you're talking about. And so it's something that kind of comes with it, but they can't live any other way. Like, they're not talented enough to just sit back, rush forward, and live that way. Like they're going to get railroaded by teams week in and week out if they try to have that approach. And so they're going to have to take risks. They're going to have to blitz more often. They're going to have to get exotic on that side of the ball. And especially when you have a young defense like they do, particularly in the secondary, there's going to be some busts that come with that. And so it's kind of like, I kind of compare it to that Brian Flores defense that we saw a couple years ago. Like, not quite as extreme where they're just, you know, doing all these simulated pressures and crazy things like that, but not too far off either. Like, they just sort of have to live that way in order to remain competitive on defense because they just don't have the quality of the roster on the side of the ball.
How are these receivers? I mean, Jacoby Myers is the headliner, if there is such a thing with this group. It's kind of young and unheralded, but there's some speed there, I think.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird group. Like, it's not a very good group. I think it's probably below average to average. And Jacoby Myers, he is a heck of a player. And it's one of those underrated guys that kind of just flies under the radar, and you look up and he has 9 catches for 98 yards or something like that. So he's definitely a threat. But the rest of that room, like Dante Thornton, Trey Tucker, like, they have legit 4.3, 4.4 speed, but they haven't been able to put it all together consistently to make plays on a play-by-play basis. You know, they might, you know, be able to hit an over-the-top ball downfield or burn you, you know, if your coverage isn't in order, but those guys aren't going to be as consistent as Jacoby Myers is. And so I think, you know, the inconsistency at receiver plus the lack of a running game, it's really kind of a boom or bust offense, right? You know, and feed the ball to Brock Bowers and Jacoby Myers. And that makes it a little bit easier for defenses to key in on those two guys that you have to worry about. And it's like, you know, I think defenses are pretty comfortable. Like, if Trey Tucker beats me, and that, you know, if you beat me going to him, like, I'll live with that. But, you know, doubling Brock Bowers, for instance, and they're not going to double Jacoby Myers, but knowing that that's the receiver you have to worry about, it puts a lot of pressure on those younger Raiders receivers to step up. And it's been inconsistent, which, you know, Dante, I mean, he's a rookie, and he had like 20 catches was his best year in college, so he's never had that much production. So he's more of a ball of traits trying to figure it out. And Trey Tucker's a solid receiver. But that group definitely is one that it can be contained, you know, if the secondary is on point. But this Commander secondary has had some issues, you know, the last couple of weeks, so I guess we'll have to see how they perform.
Deshaun Reed with us on Grant and Danny, new Commanders beat writer for the Washington Post. Had been at the Athletic covering the Raiders, and so we're having him scout the opponent for us before we talk about the Commanders. One last one. You mentioned Max Crosby. You brought up Brock Bowers there with the third highest catch total in a single season in tight end history in this league as a rookie last year. Those are the two unquestioned, like, game-wrecking type elite players, all pro types that they have. Who's their third best player? I mean, could it still be Jenty, even though he's off to a slow start, or is there anyone else that you could say, we look back after the game and we go, oh man, you got beat by a really good player and it was so-and-so?
Geno Smith, for sure. I think he's a fringe top 10 quarterback, depending on where you put him at, but he has all the arm talent in the world. He's mobile, even at 34 years old, he's smart as hell. You know, and we saw him, you know, he really lit up the Patriots in week one, threw for nearly 400 yards and really carried that offense on his back. He had a rough game again in week two, but that's kind of just the type of player he is. Like, he's going to take chances. He's not afraid to try to fit the ball into tight windows. And what comes with that is interceptions. You know, he's sort of one of those, you know, kind of Brett Favre types, not quite to that degree, but, you know, he's not afraid to try to fire something in there, even if a defender is right there. And so You know, that can go the defense's way, but it also can beat you when a guy has that level of confidence in his arm. And I think he's definitely one of the top three players. I think Genty's, you know, he has top three, you know, talent on in terms of the overall roster. He's just so much more reliant on the offensive line. And I don't have confidence in the Raiders' O-line. And so I think it's going to be, I wouldn't say easy, but I would expect the Commanders to be able to hold Genty in the running game in check.
How has Chip Kelly evolved as a play caller? Years ago when he was fresh on the scene coaching the Eagles, he befuddled Washington in an early season matchup. They had no answers for anything that he did. Of course, he burned out, flamed out, has kind of been through the ringer as a college OC coach and everything else. How has he evolved and changed now? And what's it going to be like dealing with his offense?
Yeah, so this isn't the Chip Kelly of old that we're known, you know, back in Oregon or even those Eagles years, someone who's head coach there. He's really slowed down the tempo. And he's gotten more multiple in terms of his personnel groupings. Like, it's not all four wide and five wide. Like, you'll see a lot of 12 personnel, which you saw at Ohio State with him last year. But especially with the Raiders having not just Brock Bowers, but Michael Mayer, who people forget was a top tight end prospect just a couple of years ago. They're going to run a lot of those heavier sets, particularly given that they don't have that depth at receiver either. So you're going to see heavier personnel sets. They haven't been running the ball as much as their fans would like. Genty hasn't been getting as many touches as they would like. But in terms of the structure of the offense and how it looks and the tempo, it's going to be much different than probably what most people are accustomed to from Chip Kelly from the last time that he was in the NFL. And, you know, it's been a, you know, kind of bumpy results from the offense so far. They really haven't hit their groove. And I think a lot of that does have to do with the lack of the run game and how unbalanced the offense has been. So even with it looking different, like if they can't run the ball, it's not going to be very effective.
You mentioned 12 personnel, talking to their two tight ends. Bowers, 13th overall pick last year, was a rookie who almost broke the catch record, as I mentioned. Michael Mayer of Notre Dame, who's got six catches, 47 yards through two games. He was the 35th pick in the draft in 2023. So over back-to-back years, they took tight ends in the top 35. You got to find a way to use both of those guys, even though Bowers is one of the best in the biz. All right, let's transition to your new club that you're now covering here, getting yourself acclimated on the beat with the Commanders. News today that Jaden Daniels has been ruled out. Marcus Mariota will start as a Commander for the first time here in year two with the organization. I found it super interesting that when Dan Quinn was asked, like, how close was Jaden Daniels to actually playing, he basically just drove through that stop sign 1,000 miles an hour. There was no acknowledgement that we're holding him back, but he could play. There's no, like, let's make this a game-time decision. I've thought all along, based on everything I heard early on, that this was more interesting for next week than this week. But they made it seem all week like there was a really good chance he could play. Where are you at on, are we sure, like, Wednesday he's at practice and next Sunday in Atlanta he's starting again?
Yeah, I don't really have much concern that it's something that could drag into the future. I think they were just erring on the side of caution this week. I mean, they're not going to say it, but I think part of it is, like, the opponent this week in the Raiders, like, this is still a winnable game, I would say, for the Commanders, even without Jaden Daniels. And so if he isn't 100% and, you know, he's not moving quite like you would want him to be when he was out there on the practice field today for the first time this week, it's kind of like for who, for what, you know? Like, are you really going to risk the whole season and maybe him suffering a career-altering injury or something more serious with his knee over one game? Like, that just doesn't really make a ton of sense, especially if you are confident in your backup, which, while Marcus didn't start any games last year, he did have a couple games where he came in relief of Jaden and help the team secure a couple victories there. So they do have confidence in him and they trust him. Like, obviously he's not Jaden Daniels. Like, there's no illusion about that, but they think he can help them win a game, you know? And so if there is long-term risk in terms of if Jaden re-aggravated the injury or made it worse and you think that'll be gone by next week, go ahead and sit him out. So I think that's the right call. And I'd be surprised if it's something that drags on beyond this week.
What had you heard about this organization before you would come here to start to cover them, just in terms of what it's like to deal with everybody, facilities, everything in between, and then maybe what's kind of surprised you since you've been here?
I think I'd heard, you know, not just Dan Quinn, but also Adam Peters on the front office side. Like, they really did an excellent job of, like, setting the culture in year one and sort of, you know, obviously the record and the run to the NFC Championship game was huge, but the way they built it felt sustainable to people that I had talked, you know, whether it's agents or, you know, other coaches and executives around the league. Like, it seemed like they believed, like, the Commanders were building something that could last into the future, which ultimately, you know, is the goal. Like, obviously you want to have, you know, it's great to have that great first year, but you want to be able to replicate that over time. And so, you know, that's, you know, I've only been around for a week, but talking to the guys in the locker room and talking to people in and around the franchise, and not just people who got here under this regime, but people that have been around the team for a few years, going back to the Dan Snyder years and how things have changed since then, for example, is night and day. And so I think that's been, you know, proven to be true from my early impressions thus far. In terms of, like, the facilities and stuff, like, you know, I think, you know, they're putting a lot of money into the franchise. Josh Harris obviously leading the stadium project, you know, that'll get, you know, unveiled in 2030. But it's definitely a little bit different than what the Raiders are working with out in Las Vegas. Little Legion Stadium and their brand new facility out there. So you see the need for, you know, ownership that is willing to invest in the franchise. And that was something that the Commanders in previous iteration of the team name hadn't had for quite some time. And so, you know, there's plenty of room for the team to continue to grow in that area, but you have seen reason to believe that the owner is committed to make that happen.
Tashawn, congrats on the new gig.
Yeah, welcome, buddy.
Welcome to the beat, and thank you for joining us. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Appreciate y'all having me.
You got it. Tashawn Reed covering the Commanders now for the Washington Post. Conversations on football like that one presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at $30 for your first year. That's $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Our poll of the day on Twitter, on the 106.7 The Fan page today, we were asking you, with the reports indicating Andrew Wiley is going to replace Nick Allegretti at right guard, do you think making one change to the offensive line, it should have been right guard over right tackle, yes or no? And 83% of the people that voted said they're happy that they're making a change at right guard. That's the Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day on Grant and Danny.
Yeah, I think people are going to be patient with Connerly at this point, but, you know, how long does that patience last? If you have another game like you had this past week, and understand it again, Micah Parsons is incredible, but so is Max Crosby. If he's dominating this contest, then...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
And, you know, maybe some fans will kind of come around and sort of subscribe to the idea that they might need to make a brief switch there.
The poll of the day on G&D Every Day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long-distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. Before we get to our final predictions, call our shots for this Commanders-Raiders game every single Friday. Out and about on these field trip days today, out here in Reston at the Reston Town Center at Kraft House, we give you our player to lock in on, brought to you by Baldino's Lock and Key, your hometown security team for auto keys and fobs. Visit Baldino's.com. What Commander are you locking in on Sunday?
Sorry, it's a boring answer, but it's Marcus Mariota. Taking over for Jaden Daniels, his first start in years. He came in relief, remember, 2 different times, played splendidly in small and short action for Washington last year to keep the train on the tracks. Now everybody knows he's starting. He is the guy here for this entire week. The Raiders know it, team knows it, we know it, etc. How is that going to look? If he's fine, if he's good, if he's even plus, you win this football game. If he struggles, if you know it's disrupted, if he's having issues, then all of a sudden maybe you're in a rock fight.
Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt is who I'm going to lock in on. How do you go from being as dynamic and prolific as he proved to be on his very limited 10 attempts, by the way, in week one, to kind of being uninvolved in week two? It was 4 attempts. Now, I know they didn't run it a lot, even though it was a fairly close game. It didn't feel close, and I think Cliff called the game like the scoreboard indicated how it felt, like they were down 17 or 20 points or something. But even still, with, you know, the snaps that were divvied up, Jeremy McNichols was on the field more than Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
After he averaged 8 yards per carry and was number 2 in the NFL in rushing yards over expected per attempt last week. Can't have it. Now, Austin Ekeler, pre-injury with the Achilles, basically doubled up Krosky Merritt in carries. Can't have that. So I'm keying in on him. I'm locking in on him with Baldino's because I do believe he's going to be more involved and they're going to give him more touches. I think that's going to help this offense get going. Which brings us to our game predictions. The Commanders are three-point favorites. The Lions moved around a bunch with the injury status of Daniels this week. Washington at home, laying three. Who wins? What's the score?
Washington, 19. The Raiders, 15. I like the under here. I think it's a bit of an offensively challenged atmosphere. I don't think a ton of points will be scored. There'll be moments of futility, but Washington will be the better team. That'll be clear, and they will win in semi-close fashion.
Yeah, I'm going to go 20-17 Commanders. I'm going to choose a more traditional football score than you.
Yep.
For my football score. I get the path, though. I think we're on the same page in terms of gameplay. Like, it's going to be tight. It's going to be some field goals here or there that determine the thing, which may be ominous for Commanders fans, but I think they'll be more aggressive in going for some things so that Matt Gay's not kicking from 55. But I just think they're more talented, and they have better options in more places, even with Mariota under center. If he turns the ball over twice, they lose. I just don't think he will. He'll protect the rock. Not going to make a lot of plays, but not going to be overly costly to them either. So Washington, 2-1. We come back on Monday, talk to Jay Gruden at 5 p.m., and I think the world's going to feel a little bit different if they can handle their business. Now you're a win in Atlanta away from getting to 3-1, which is right where you wanted to be a quarter way through the season.
Yeah, I cared about style points at times against the Giants, which may or may not be fair. It just tells you that the expectations have been raised. I don't care about this one, style points here.
You know what I mean? Not with a backup quarterback.
And that's my point here. Let's just get away with a W some way, somehow.
We are getting ready to get away for Nats Baseball, brought to you by the Window Man. It is time for the leadoff. Since 1989, the Window Man's been the educational window company. Get your free in-home estimate or visit thewindowman.com's all-new Fairfax showroom.
Behind, Mr. Alvarez on the bump. James
Andrew
Wood
Alvarez
leading off, playing left field. C.J. Abrams at shortstop. Josh Bell at first base. Daniel Lally, D.H. Luis Garcia Jr. at second base. Dylan Cruz in right field batting sixth. Paul DeJong hitting seventh at third base. And Jose Alfaro doing the catching, and Jacob Young hitting ninth in center field.
Andrew Alvarez has played well for them. I mean, he is pitching effectively. Alvarez, this season, has an ERA sub 2 for the Nationals coming up. Throws 89-91 from the left side. There were not high expectations. This is not a big-time prospect.
He's mixing and matching, man.
It's a 1.35 earned run average at this point for him. He has been very, very effective, so we'll see if he can keep his streak alive for the Nationals. Show is brought to you today and every day by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad. If you need anything done in terms of a living trust or a medical power of attorney, get a consultation with their attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Danny, enjoy your weekend, buddy. Should be a fun one.
You do the same. Let's talk about a win on Monday. You and me, 2-1, better than 1-2. That's the theme of the show.
Thanks to Darris and Wes back in studio, Ryan and Tim, Brianna out here at the Craft House in Reston. Grant and Danny back at it Monday at 2 o'clock on The Fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.